Hi, this is Lee Phillips. I'm an attorney, counselor to the Supreme Court of the United States, and we're going to talk about my advanced tax tactics. What we're going to do is we're going to give you some good, practical tax advice. I love the tax tips that you get in your emails and in the magazines and stuff at the end of the year or during the year or whenever it is. You can deduct your moving expenses. Well, I didn't move this year. You can deduct your teacher preparation time. Well, I'm not a teacher. And you can deduct your dental expenses for your wisdom teeth root canals if they were done on the third Sunday of the month. The bottom line is the tax tactics that you get generally are worthless. We're going to talk about some good stuff. I'm going to give you a tax overview first. You need to understand taxes a little bit. You need to understand what we're doing, and then we'll get down to the nuts and the bolts and the nitty-gritty. So don't give up on me here. We're going to get to some good stuff, but you've got to have a background first. Actually, I'm an asset protection attorney. I do taxes, asset protection, estate planning, financial stuff, business structuring. It all melts together after a while. In the form of asset protection, though, and we're not going to get into that here, we're going to do taxes, but the IRS is your major impediment to financial success, either in your own personal life or in your business life. The only way you can control the IRS is to know and understand their own laws. We have to know the laws. There are two sets of laws in the United States, one set that rich people uses and one set that everybody else uses. If you're going to be rich, which set of laws do you have to use? Obviously, you have to use the rich set of laws. So we're going to do the rich set of laws. And for 30 years, I've worked with very wealthy people in the United States, thinking about their taxes, thinking about their asset protection. You remember the rich dad, poor dad thing? Well, rich people think differently about taxes, about finances, than poor people. It's true. You're going to use the poor set of laws, you're going to be poor. If you want to be rich, you've got to use the rich set of laws. So we're going to start to take advantage of some of those laws. And moving expenses are the poor side of the laws. Well, yeah, they are deductible. But no, I didn't move. So what can you do this year to affect your taxes and actually make a difference? Our goal is to reduce your taxes by 20%. I want you to put a number to it. How much did you pay in tax last year? If I could give you 20% of that this year, what's that worth to you? I mean, you can give the average lottery winner guy his $1 million, and in 1 year, he's going to be broke. He doesn't know the rules. He doesn't know the laws. He doesn't have the tools. You got to use legal tools to use the laws. You can't do it in many cases. The problem is, if you don't know the rules, you don't know the laws, you don't have the tools, you can't play the game. You will be broke, just like everybody else. And the IRS is your major impediment to financial success. You may not understand that now, but when we get through with this overview, you're going to understand it very well. For many years, I wrote a column every week for the Physician's Money Digest. It was a big magazine, went out to all the physicians. It's online now, and I still write for them. Went out to about 300,000 physicians every month. And I'd get calls all the time from these doctors. Hey, Phillips, how do we increase the return on our investment by 1%? Just 1%. And I'm going, well, yeah, 1% would be nice. But my question always was, what's the tax? Because if you're losing 40% of your investment to the tax, 1% more return isn't going to make that big of a deal. We have to control taxes. And by the way, you're the one that has to control your taxes. It isn't going to be your CPA. It isn't going to be your attorney. It isn't going to be your accounting buddy or your financial guy. It's you. You're the one that has to control the taxes. Your accountant just plugs the numbers in. That's all the guy is going to do for you. And by the way, you don't control your taxes through investing. You control your taxes by knowing the laws. I had three doctors, and I watched these doctors over the years. In fact, I grew up around them. And I noted that two of the doctors, they invested in all kinds of things. They invested in boxcars. They invested in all sorts of stuff. The other family, the doctor used the legal tools that I'm going to talk about. The doctor had set up a children's trust. And whenever we went to scout camp or did anything, I noted that the family showed up with a check. The check was drawn on the children's trust. And I watched it very carefully. Over the next 10 or 15 years, the funny thing is, the two doctors who had made the investments, well, the IRS came back and said, no, you can't do that. They had tried to invest their way into saving taxes. The two doctors ended up moving from their Cadillacs and their Lincolns down to regular old Fords and Chevys, and they pretty much are still trying to practice and make a living even though they're at retirement age, whereas the other doctor who had used the law, he continued to drive his Cadillac and his Lincoln. He continued to do whatever he wanted, and he retired at a nice normal age and did whatever he wanted after he was retired. The difference is he used the laws. He didn't try and go around the laws with some sort of a tax sham or a tax shelter. There are very few tax shelters in the code, and we're going to get to those in 2 seconds. The point of the matter is that people will pay 30% in taxes. Yeah, I'll pay that. I don't like it, but I'll pay it. When the tax rate goes up to 50, 60, 70, 80%, 90%, and yes, there are many periods in our tax code history when the tax has been 90% on the rich. And you just said, well, I'm not rich. Don't worry about it. They're going to get you too. If you're making money, the IRS is going to get you. As soon as the tax rates go up, though, people start to try and calculate, how do I get out of paying the tax? Well, you get out of paying the tax with the laws. You don't get out of paying the tax with tax-sheltered investments. And I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to say, yeah, there are some things that you can do in your investing structures to help with the taxes, no question about it, but it's based upon black-letter law. So we have to know the laws in order to control the taxes. And oh, by the way, you can always find attorneys and accountants who will support all of the tax shelters, even though they're shams. So you've got to learn what to do. And that's what I'm going to teach you about. Let's have a goal. The goal is to live a good lifestyle, not to show a big income. And that's becoming more important, to kind of keep a low profile, not have the big income, but have the nice lifestyle. That's what you really want. Now, I told you that you probably shouldn't be using the tax shelters. Well, there are a number of tax shelters that are very legitimate. There's like 11 of them left in the IRS code. There's your house. You get to deduct the mortgage. You get to sell a house. If you live in it 2 out of 5 years, you get to sell it for $250,000, $500,000. You don't have to pay any income. It's tax-free money to you. That's a big tax shelter. It's one that many people in the United States take advantage of, and it's right there in black and white letter law. Retirement plans are a huge tax shelter. The 401ks, the SEPs, the IRAs, those are all tax shelters. Let's take advantage of them, and yeah, we're going to give you a lot of different tips, and we're not just going to go on the run of the mill, oh, you should have a retirement plan. I'm going to teach you how to do stuff. There's an aspect to the law that most advisors don't know about. It's called benefit plans. Benefit plans are a big deal. And yet, advisors don't understand them. They don't know about them because they're not investing your money in them. Well, we can save money in them. We can save taxes. We can do all sorts of things with benefit plans. And we're going to talk about those in detail. Of course, you can hire felons. That's a type of a tax shelter. And by the way, lawyers hire a lot of felons. You do know how to tell if a lawyer's lying, don't you? Well, his lips are moving. Yeah. That's the easy part. Here comes the hard part. Do you know what a good dead lawyer does? A good dead lawyer lies still. All right, it's a joke. Let's go on. I love lawyer jokes, by the way. Generally, let me just say that tax shelters, the standard 11, 12 tax shelters, are not tax tips. They're things that you just plain need to be using. Let me make one more point. Taxes aren't an April 10th or an April 15th thing. They're not a December 15th. They're not a December 31st thing either. They're actually a way of life. It's something that you need to think about all of the time. You plan now, and you execute the tax plan all during the year. You actually create the numbers that you're going to give to the CPA in March so that he can calculate your taxes. And by the way, I don't calculate taxes. I sit and shake if I look at a tax form. But I plan taxes. There's a big difference between plugging numbers in the holes and planning what numbers you're going to give the guy. But if you're going to give the guy numbers to your advantage, then you've got to create those numbers, and it's a daily thing that you have to think about and you have to work with all year long. Remember, the rich think differently than poor people. Poor people think about their taxes on April 10th. Rich people think about their taxes every day. How do I structure this business deal? How do I do the investment? How do I get the tax advantage? And that makes a huge difference when you generate the numbers, they clock in on December 31st, and then you give them to the accountant in March. So we're going to talk about how you create the tax numbers. Generally, people don't understand taxes. Let's look at a chart of the history of taxes. Section 16 was passed in 1913. We got the income tax. And the income tax came in at 8.5%. Within a couple of years, the highest tax bracket, and you can look at the chart, had gone up to 75%. Then it came back down, and we were actually at quite a low tax rate in the 20s, 25%, during the 1920s. Well, what did they call the 1920s? No, it's not the Depression. They called the 1920s the Roaring Twenties. The funny thing is they brought the tax rate down, everybody had extra money, and the economy went nuts. Store that in the back of your mind for a minute. Then you can see a huge hike about 1929. Goes up the little step, then it goes all the way up to 80%. That's called Herbert Hoover. That's the Great Depression, guys. Herbert Hoover decided he was going to tax everybody. The economy was down. Started to slow. He created the taxes. He was going to do the work projects. He was going to do all of this stuff. And the huge tax is one of the major things that put us into the Great Depression. You might note that during the 50s and 60s, we were at a 92% tax for the rich. I mean, you could be making $1 million and paying $920,000 of that out in tax. That's a big deal, guys. By the way, there were tons of tax shelters in the 50s and the 60s into the 70s because people won't pay 92% of their income out in tax. You can't do it and live. The taxes bounced around. In the 70s, you were paying 70%. That was your highest rate. And trust me, the middle income people, they had a higher rate too. Everybody had a higher rate. You're paying more taxes. Then you come along in the early 80s and you see those two big drops. That's called Ronald Reagan. Reagan economics. Everybody said that Reagan was nuts. He lowered the taxes. He said, if I lower the taxes, I get more money in the government. Nah, it doesn't work that way. Actually, it did work that way. And in the 90s, we had a low tax rate. The economy went nuts. You might think that the politicians could maybe scratch their head and look and see, when were the two times that the economy went nuts? When the tax rate was 28-25%? Boo! The little hike back up there to 40%, that's Clinton. Then it goes along, Bushy dropped it a little, now it's coming back up. Based upon this chart, you might not believe it, but you are basically at historic tax low right now. Do you think the politicians are going to have the brains to lower the taxes, or are they going to raise taxes? Well, what's happened during most of our tax history? They've raised the taxes. And the funny thing is, Ronald Reagan's don't come along very often. So based upon what you're looking at, taxes are going to go up. if I know that taxes are going to go up, that means I can plan a certain way. You plan differently if they're going up or if they're going down. But they're not going to go down much more than they are today, guys. They're going to go up. So let's plan for taxes to go up. The problem is we get taxed to death. There's the income tax. There's the estate tax. There's the state tax. There's the airport tax. There's the property tax. There's the phone tax. There's the gas tax. There's the tax. There's the tax. There's the tax. Everything we do is taxed. I want you to look at the chart with me for a minute. Let's take a dollar and double it 20 times. I'm going to show you what tax does to you. You take a dollar, $1, double it, $2, double that, four, double, 16, 32. You understand what we're doing. But there's no tax on that sequence that you're looking at. That's just a straight mathematical doubling of numbers. You double it 20 times, you end up with $1,048 and change. That's a lot of money, guys. Wait. Everything we do is taxed. Okay, let's tax our profit every time we double a dollar. So we've got $1, we double it, we've got two. But let's say you're in a 40% tax rate. And I'm going to include federal and state and all that stuff. So, you know, that's not unreasonable for a lot of people. You take the dollar, you double it. But wait. I got a dollar in profit, so I have to tax it 40%. So I don't end up with $2, I end up with $1.60. Double $1.60, $3.20. But wait, got to tax my extra $1.60. So you don't end up with $3.20, you end up with $2.56. So you understand what we're doing. On the one hand, we doubled the dollar 20 times, we had $1,048,000 and change. Now we're going to take 40% away. So $1 million, 40% of that, $400,000. So the bottom line is you have about $600,000 left, right? I don't think so, guys. How much do you have left? Well, you run it out and you can do the math. You've got a grand total of $12,089 left. Wait. No tax. I had $1,048,000. If I taxed it at 40%, I didn't end up with a 40% loss. I ended up with almost 100% loss. I went from $1,048,000 to $12,089,000. Let me think. What do taxes do to you? Can you see why I asked the doctors? I don't care about the return. What's the tax? The tax is the big deal, guys. You can do income tax planning. And there are basically three ways that you can affect your income tax. You can postpone the tax. Give me an example of postponing the tax. Well, how about a standard IRA? I get to deduct the contribution today, and I postpone the tax until I take the money out. How about a 1031 exchange? 1031 exchange, you sell a piece of property, you get a new piece of property, you don't pay the tax on the old piece. In fact, you postpone the tax until you sell the second piece. In fact, you can kick the can down the road forever with 1031 exchanges. Never pay the tax. But those are all examples of postpone the tax. Okay, you can change the nature of the tax. How do you change the nature of the tax? We're going to talk about a couple of those. They're actually good tax tips. Maybe the one that you might think of is, I make an investment, I keep the investment for a certain period, say 11 months, and I sell the investment. My income is ordinary tax. If I keep the investment until it's been maybe 13 months, and these times change all the time, so don't sweat it, but if I keep the investment longer, then the government, the IRS, will give me capital gains tax. And that's at a much lower rate. They want you to invest money in the economy, so they're willing to say you invest for a longer period, we give you a better tax rate when you make your return. So we've changed the nature of the tax from ordinary to capital gains. We can shift the tax. We can make it so that somebody else pays the tax. The kids, mom and dad, they need extra money. I'm making lots of money. I want to help them out. I'm going to make them pay the tax on the money that I give them. I'm not going to pay the tax. They're going to be in a lower tax bracket than I am. So we take advantage of brackets in the IRS. We shift the tax. And we're going to talk about that. Whatever you're going to do to affect your taxes, you're going to have to use some legal tools. The legal tools, they all have four functions. And these legal tools, they're wills, they're trusts, corporations, LLCs, limited partnerships, partnerships, sole proprietorships. If you're going to do an IRA, you're going to have a tool. It's called a trust. And we're going to talk about some of the trust things with IRAs in a little while. But each one of these legal tools has four functions. It has a management function. We can manage assets inside of these tools. It has an asset protection function. Of course, each one of the tools has an income tax aspect to it and an estate tax aspect to it. A lot of you aren't considering estate taxes right now, but we need to keep those in the back of our mind. Now, I'm sure you've all had the experience. You go down to the lawyer, you get one story. You go to the next lawyer or the CPA guy, you get another story. You go to the third guy, you get a third story. What they're doing is they're using these tools in different ways. A carpenter only has so many tools, hammer, saw, you know, that sort of stuff, planer. And yet, the carpenter makes very different structures using these same tools. Well, an attorney can make very different structures using the same tools. And one attorney has been trained to use a tool a specific way, a hammer. Well, do you drive nails in with a hammer or do you pull nails out with a hammer? An LLC. Do you use it for asset protection or do you use it for taxes? So you get a different story depending upon how the guy is going to use the tool and what type of a structure he envisions. You have to take control. You have to envision your own structure, and you have to know these tools well enough to know what tool has to be used. You don't have to use the tool, but you need to know what tool has to be used. And it's taxes we're talking about here, not asset protection. That's a different gig. If you want to cut your taxes, you've got to understand a concept called AGI. What's AGI? The AGI, the adjusted gross income, is the magic number. It determines what tax bracket you're in, what itemized deductions you get, when your exemptions start to phase out, what your child care credits are, whether you can do a Roth IRA, whether you pay alternative minimum taxes or not. I mean, the AGI controls everything. If I can control the AGI, I can control my taxes. Remember I said the goal was to live well and not show a lot of income? I want my money, but I want my AGI to be low. I don't want a high AGI. And you just sat there and said, well, Phillips, I don't have to worry about that. I don't make $250,000 a year. Well, yeah, but your AGI determines which tax bracket you're in. Do you want to be in the 15% tax bracket or the 30% tax bracket? Let me think. If I can lower my AGI, it drops me into a lower tax bracket. I save money on every dime that I make all year long. That's a big deal, guys. Your child care credits, they start kicking out at about $40,000 in AGI. AGI affects the alternative minimum tax, and you can start paying alternative minimum tax down around $50,000, $60,000 if your AGI is out of whack and you have certain investment income and blah, 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 blah. So the AGI affects you, all of you. And I've got another little thought for you. Do politicians always tell the truth? When Section 16 was passed in 1913, would you believe that Congress and the President said, absolutely, under no condition will the income tax, Section 16, no condition will the income tax ever go above 8.5%. We swear, we promise that the tax will never increase. Duh. 4 years later, it's at 70%. Let me think. This $250,000 AGI that they're passing the tax laws on, well, could they ever lower that? They've never even said that they wouldn't lower that limit. They don't even have to create a new tax. All they have to do is move it down so that you get nailed to the wall when you make $60,000 a year. That's really easy to do. In fact, probably will be done. Additionally, there's something called inflation. You may not be making $200,000 this year. You may only be making $600,000. But if we have hyperinflation, if inflation kicks in big time, 6, 7, 8, 10 years from now, your salary could be called $200,000. You're still going to be living like you were making 60, but as far as the IRS is concerned, you're making $200,000 in adjusted gross income, and we're going to nail you to the wall. So these tax things that they're talking about are important. They affect you now. You're going to have to think today, how do I lower my AGI for the end of next year so that I don't have to report the numbers to my CPA and my tax return turns out very differently? Now, I said you can't affect your AGI. Well, mostly you can't affect your AGI as a person. The charitable contributions that you make, your mortgage deductions, your medical expenses, all of that stuff, you take them off your taxes, but they do not affect your AGI. So you've got to understand adjusted gross income, and you've got to think, how do I lower my AGI? I went out on the internet a while back, and in all straight-faced seriousness, there were three or four sites out there that said, okay, the way you lower your AGI is you adopt kids. Well, yeah, a kid will lower your adjusted gross income. These people have obviously never had a child because you don't get children for tax breaks. There are other things that come along with children, like a lot of expenses and other things. So children aren't good tax shelters. Let me just put it that way. Now, I'm going to assume that you're a professional, you're a little business person, you're making reasonable money. The IRS puts out a list of the things that you can do as an individual in order to reduce your AGI, adjusted gross income. Let's look at the list for 2 seconds. Well, teachers and educators, they can deduct their classroom expenses. Oh, that really helped me. Qualified performing artists get to deduct certain expenses. The traditional IRA is a tax deduction which comes off your taxes and lowers your AGI. So you can put your 5, 6, whatever thousand away it is this year into your traditional, not your Roth, your traditional IRA, and that will lower your AGI. Your student loan interests, they lower your AGI. Tuition and fees that are deductible, they lower your AGI. And by the way, most college expenses are not tax deductible. Your health savings account is a deduction that you can take. Your HSA you can take, and that will lower your AGI. You can put, what, $7,800, something like that, into your health savings account and have that come off the top of your AGI. Oh, the moving expenses, that's good. The self-employment health insurance, that's nice. Your SEP IRAs, your 401ks, your retirement stuff, that all comes off and lowers your AGI. Oh, and if you're stupid enough to take money out of your IRA early, the penalty that you get hit with, oh, you can deduct that off your AGI taxes. You can pay alimony, that comes off. The bottom line is, we just went through this list and you're going, well, Phillip, you're nuts. This doesn't apply to me. These deductions don't do me any good. Well, I'm going to agree with you. So how do we lower your AGI? Well, you've got to learn about above the line and below the line accounting. And those things that we've just gone through, that's about all that an individual can do above the line. What's above the line and below the line? Well, a line refers to what's on the last line of page 1 on your 1040 tax return. Any of the deductions that you take above the line affect your AGI. Anything that you do on page 2 or below the line does not affect your AGI. All of the standard deductions that you take are on page 2. The mortgage, the charitable contributions, all of that stuff, page 2. Actually, all of the items on the list that we just went through are printed on the bottom of page 1 on your 1040, and not many of those apply to you. The IRA contribution is about the only one that you're really going to take advantage of. So what else can we do above the line on page 1 of the 1040 form that will affect your AGI? There are actually two lines under income that you can start to play with. One talks about business income or losses, and that comes over from Schedule C. The other one talks about rental real estate, royalties, partnerships, S corporations, and trusts. And those all come in on Schedule E. So the place that you can really have an impact on your adjusted gross income is in your business, your rental properties, the extra things that you do. We're not going to go into it in great detail here, but suffice it to say, your little company, your business, your real estate deals are your most important tax shelters because everything is above the line. You've got to learn how to use your company. And you just said, what company? I don't know what company you've got, but you need to have some sort of a business outside of your W-2 wage. If you're just getting a W-2 wage, you're just paying taxes. I mean, do something. Sell the flies that you tie. Have a hot dog stand on the 4th of July at the parade. Do something where you can file a Schedule C. Get a piece of rental real estate. Rent it. Rehab it. Sell it. Do something. Of course, if you've already got a business, you're a professional, doctor, dentist, psychologist, whatever it is, if you're a businessman, then you obviously have a business. What you need to do is learn how to use it better.